Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. On today's program, The Mountain Grapevine, we're going to be discussing an interesting problem that occurs sometimes in vineyards. The problem is spray drift. What is spray drift? Spray drift is what happens when someone sprays a series of herbicides near a vineyard, or sometimes not so near. The wind causes micro droplets and or vapors to drift sideways from the intended application area into a vineyard and causes all sorts of problems. Here are some of the symptoms. If you take a look at your vineyard and had some spray drift damage, you may see some new and some older leaves that have a real cupped look, and the edges having sort of a spiked look. Leaves may never mature to full size. Yellowing of immature leaves will be seen. Chlorophyll will look blotchy, not a solid uniform green, when held up to the sun and looked through. Some chemicals will cause the grape leaf to look like it has a cream-colored bump pattern all over it. It can cause your grape blooms to drop off, and therefore not set fruit. It can also cause the fruit to be dwarfed or misshapen and may look scarred. It all depends upon what type of herbicide drifting into your vineyard and what time of the year it occurs. Let's take a look at the list of chemicals that we know cause injury to vineyards. There's basically two types of chemicals that are used as herbicides. One is called the growth regulators, which includes 2,4-D, dicamba, and some others, and also glyphosate. There are also some ALS inhibitors, which include sulfonylurea, imidazolinone, and some others. If we take a look at the growth regulators, the most common ones under the 2,4-D, you will see brand names like Amine 4, Barrage, Esterone 99, Formula 40, Hi-Dep, LV-4, LV-6, Sabre, Salvo, Savage, Tricep, Weedar 64, Weed Be Gone, Weed Master, and Weed Done. Also under the growth regulators is the dicamba, and there you will find the common names like Banvel, Clarity, and Rave. Some others that fit that category of growth regulators include Brontac, Crossbow, Curtail, Landmaster, MCPA, RT Master, Starrain, Tordon, Turflon, and Trimec. In the glyphosate categories, you have Roundup, Rodeo, Roundup Ultra, Roundup Ultra Max, Roundup Weather Max, Landmaster, Glyphos, Glypro, RT Master, and Touchdown. In the ALS inhibitors group of chemicals, under the sulfonylurea, you have Ally, Ally Extra, Amber, Canvas, Cimarron, Express, Finesse, Glean, Harmony Extra, Harmony GT, Oust, Peak, and Rave. Under the imidazolinone category, you have Arsenal, Assert, Beyond, Pursuit, Raptor, and Plateau. And the others under the ALS category that we know above of the ALS inhibitors is Gramoxone, AIM, and BOA. These are just the simple chemical names, trademark, if you will, trade names that you find on the bottles or boxes of the various types of herbicides that you may find. Sometimes the spray drift from these chemicals do not stay put, even if you have a sticker or if you mix them with oil. And this is a false belief by some people who think that the sticker may cause it to stay put. They will actually volatilize and travel in the wind 2 to 5 or more miles if the weather's right. People that spray don't realize this. All the chemicals have a half-life, that is, a measure of how long the chemical is still able to kill things in the soil. The 2,4-D half-life, numbers from absorption in soil, so if not in the soil, can still vaporize in the air, are from 20 days to 333 days. Roundup has a half-life of 3 to 47 days, more or less. Grapes are especially sensitive to spray drift from these chemicals. On hot, humid days, it will vaporize from the soil very quickly, and the air will move them. But if you can smell it, it's probably too late for plants that are sensitive to these particular herbicides.
One of the things that happens is what we call the primary drift being separated from the secondary drift. The primary drift occurs the same day that someone is spraying nearby a vineyard, and the wind carries these chemical vapors and so forth into your vineyard to cause all of the damage. At that point in time, you think that the damage possibility is over from the chemicals that have been sprayed on a property adjacent to yours or nearby. In actual fact, what we have is the secondary drift. The secondary source of drift comes whenever you have a warm day. If you've had a cool night, the pesticides, herbicides that have been in the ground actually start to revaporize off of the leaves and the grass and the soil and quickly get into the air. And again, the wind can cause them to drift and cause almost as much damage as the primary drift. So it's not a simple, easy problem to understand and to determine where the damage is coming from, and certainly have to get some interesting ways to try to protect yourself from this potential type of damage. Let's take a look at the spray drift sources. Sometimes you have neighbors who are just doing some normal gardening or backyard weed work, and they'll put on various types of herbicides for weed control. On farm applications, you have a number of ways that this can occur. The farmer can make the applications directly in the field next to yours, or maybe two or three fields away, and this will cause the spray drift primary and secondary to damage your vineyard. Contract applicators, on the other hand, are actually paid by the farmers to do this type of work for them. They may be carrying their chemicals in a backpack, which they walk along fence rows or up and down very steep mountains and hills, or inaccessible areas where you can't get a small truck or tractor. Sometimes they will use a small truck or tractor with a tank on the back in order to get access to some more remote and more extensive areas. In huge fields where you have acres and acres of relatively flat ground, don't have a lot of that here in the mountains, they'll use larger tanker trucks, even railroad tankers, and even airplanes to dispense the type of chemicals that can cause your spray drift damage. There are also contract applicators for farm use. As I mentioned before, they also do the same thing. If you have contract applicators for cities, the counties, state road maintenance department, and the right-of-ways for people who are working on electrical lines, telephone lines, and so forth, each of these companies may have the ability to apply the chemicals directly themselves with their own staff, or they will contract applicators for electric and telephone right-of-way maintenance. In any case, these are various ways that you can have some of the chemicals that can cause damage to your vineyards. The last thing I might mention on this particular use is that railway lines sometimes have their own capability of spraying to keep their tracks and weeds away from their right-of-ways so that the bees are not hurt and they're not flying around to cause some of the colony collapse disorder that's been pegged to certain types of pesticides and herbicides that have been used and insecticides have been used in the past in various crops. At this point in time, there's still a lot of contention going on within the beekeeping community and certainly within the agriculture community about what's causing colony collapse disorder. And recently, there's been some research done by the Europeans that have absolutely recognized the source of this as being some of the herbicides and the pesticides that are being applied to crops. The bees actually get their nose into this, and it causes the disorientation within their brain so they can't find their way back to the hive, and therefore they die out in the wilderness or in the fields, and this has caused the colony collapse disorder. Let's talk for a moment about protection. One of the best things you can do for your own protection is to place signage up around your property warning of the potential damage for your grapes if someone sprays herbicides nearby. You should probably send a notice to all of your neighbors that you're growing grapes and any spraying of harmful chemicals nearby may cause growth problems in your vineyard. There are some insurance agencies who work with farmers to protect their crops from financial disasters like hail, tornadoes, floods, and so forth. Some of these insurance companies will also offer spray drift damage insurance. I suggest working with your current insurance company to get usable quotes for a suitable policy. Since the viticulture industry is relatively new in North Carolina, then I think you are going to have to do just a little bit of work to find a company that would be satisfactory for issuing a policy for protection of your vineyard against spray drift. Personally, I've experienced spray drift damage to the extent that my vineyard did not produce a single grape that season. Some of us were pioneers in the mountain vineyards in part of the state, so I decided to call some of my vineyard colleagues in Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota. Here's what I learned from my viticulture associates in Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska. commercial applicators do not want to deal with herbicide drift complaints. Settling a herbicide drift complaint can be very time-consuming and very costly. Number two, out-of-court and in-court settlements typically compensate those drifted upon in excess of the herbicide damage incurred. Number three, more awareness and common sense by the pesticide applicator would have probably eliminated 80% of the herbicide drift cases on record. So this is something we should keep in mind if we're going forward with growing grapes in the mountains. And certainly in the eastern part of a state, I've noticed that some of our vineyards out there don't have this type of insurance yet, but I think it'll ultimately come here as we develop the viticulture industry in North Carolina. We're going to take a break now, and we'll be right back. The sponsor for today's program is Henry Hagel's Hog Caller. I know that many of our listeners are farmers like me. We are always looking for tools and tips to make our job easier on the farm. A good neighbor, Henry Hagel from Shelton's Branch here in Madison County, has a hog farm. He's a third-generation hog farmer. Most bacon, ham, hog jaws, and chitlins around these parts come from Henry's hog farm. One of the problems he solved is how to call his hogs. He took a piece of hollow water willow branch about 4 inches long and wedged a flattened turkey feather quill to the inside with a piece of birch bark. Then he blows through it with his hand partially over the end so it makes a soo sound. Then he moves his hand from the end quickly and then increases the pitch to an e sound. The hogs seem to love the soo-ee sound and come a-running. It worked so well, his friends and neighbors wanted one, so Henry began making them in his shop out back of his hog pens. Henry Hagel's Hog Caller is another fine original product made in the good old U.S. of A. here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy your very own Henry Hagel's Hog Caller today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our regular program. Welcome back, everybody. Next, we're going to discuss about people exposure to some of the hazardous chemicals we might find in the herbicide and certain farming practices. People who have been exposed to pesticides often display a nonspecific series of symptoms that mirror common everyday conditions for colds and so forth. Drift victims may report poisoning symptoms almost immediately, such as burning skin and eyes, sore throat, difficulty in breathing, headache or dizziness, nausea, or even vomiting. Pesticide exposure also increases people's risk for long-term health conditions such as asthma, fatigue, or depression, increased chemical sensitivity, neurological impairments, infertility, miscarriage of birth defects, and some cancers. Some of the ways that you can protect yourself is take a look at what other folks have done in the past to prevent these types of problems. Vineyard owners may be best served by being proactive in their defense against herbicide drift. Contact your local telephone company, power utility, pipeline company, county and state department of transportation, maintenance departments, railroad lines, and any other government-owned operated organizations responsible for right-of-way maintenance. Share with them your vineyard location, the most critical time for spray drift damage in your vineyard, and let them know how spray drift can damage your grape production. We have found the local utilities to be quite cooperative in trying to time their spraying that has to be done to maintain their right-of-way to keep it away from the most sensitive times for my particular vineyard. Here are some of the common sense steps you can use to reduce the potential of herbicide drifting into your vineyards. 1. Register your vineyard location for free on your state's Sensitive Crops or DriftWatch website. Pesticide applicators use these sites to locate potential drift hazards. Most Midwestern states now have this service available through their Departments of Agriculture. Here in North Carolina, we're not quite so organized yet, but we're trying to get there. 2, don't establish a vineyard next to areas where phenoxy herbicides are constantly being applied for broadleaf weed control. Examples should include schools, golf courses, athletic turf areas, and cemeteries. 3, signs. A sign along the road or property fence with the simple word vineyard is worth 1,000 words. 4. Buffers are good. Shrubs, trees, physical barriers, or just distance can all be used to shelter vineyards from nearby herbicide applications. 5. A simple aerial map of your property showing the vineyard location can be shared with the neighbors and commercial pesticide applicators to heighten their awareness. Here are some things you should do if spray drift occurs. Your best defense may not guarantee that pesticide drift will not ever affect your vineyard. Here are some key steps that you might want to consider if you are affected by drift. First, identify the area affected. Next, document the date, time, and growth stages of the grapes. Then, if possible, identify the source of the drift and make a determination if you want to settle the problem between friends or foes. 4. Contact your State Department of Agriculture ASAP if you cannot determine the source of the drift and or you want to formalize the complaint, which is usually required within 30 to 45 days within many states, and report it. Charlie Clark in Boone, North Carolina, is the North Carolina Department of Agriculture spray drift specialist for the mountain areas. Once we had determined we had some spray drift damage in our vineyard, he showed up the following day once the notice was given. So they are prepared to react quickly to help resolve some of these issues. Number 5, flag both the affected and unaffected plants. Take high-resolution pictures weekly until symptoms subside and measure the final yields per plant. Document this carefully with your past records to show that whatever decrease in the production that you had so that it may be compensated for if there's insurance agents involved. Number 6, severe injury settlement should be delayed until next season's harvest. Photo and yield documentation should be continued. What we've discovered through the experience of the folks out in the Midwest area is that even though you have spray drift damage significant, many cases it carries over to the following season and can result in either total loss of production in the second year following spray drift damage or as much as 50% loss in production capability even for a mild damage report. Let's talk about insurance companies. Insurance companies often become involved in spray drift settlement and claims. And I'll make the observation again that some of my Midwestern friends have shared with me. One is the typical insurance adjuster will do everything he or she can to settle as soon as possible. They do not want to increase their administrative costs of carrying over a claim to another season or take that chance of increasing their liability by waiting until the next season to settle. Unless the settlement offered seems exceptionally lucrative, they suggest delaying any settlements until after next year's harvest. Here are some potential sources of technical support if you find that you need an experienced consultant to help your case. The University Weed Specialist. Here in North Carolina, we have a number of those folks that might be able to help you. Talk to a State Crop Consultant Association. You can also contact the National Alliance of Independent Crop Consultants. There's also the National Association of Insurance Adjusters. There's also the State Horticulture or Nursery and Landscape Associations, many of which are located in Raleigh and Charlotte. There's even a few in the Asheville area. You can also talk to other experienced vineyard managers on how they've handled these difficulties. There's also a State Arborist Association that you can contact. The American Association of Agronomy is a certified crop advisor or certified professional agronomist on staff. You can also do an online search for, quote, pesticide drift consultant, quote. You can also contact your local cooperative extension office, and they will most likely refer you to the specialists in your particular county. When you're taking a look at information, trying to determine exactly what's happening on which chemical, if you're exposed to something that you're not familiar with, you can always go to the chemical database for information. There's a chemical database that tells you all of the details that you would find on a particular label and a particular brand name of a herbicide or pesticide and give you the information that you'd need in order to lay out some defense or lay out some help to deal with your problem. The chemical database online is www.cdms.net/label-database. Again, that's www.cdms.net/label-database. If you were looking for some information, that'd be something that might be helpful to you. The North Carolina Department of Agriculture's pesticide section has an obligation to investigate pesticide drift under certain circumstances and can find applicators. The phone number to report here in North Carolina is 919-733-3556. Again, the number for the North Carolina Department of Agriculture pesticide section is 919-733-3556. Their website is totally opaque about regulations regarding drift. However, there is free assistance in reporting this from the Toxic Free North Carolina. If you Google the ToxicFreeNorthCarolina.org organization, you'll come across the website www.toxicfreenc.org/informed/factsheets/pesticidedrifthsp.html. This will give you the detailed information you need to look at what's going on with the toxic conditions with herbicides and pesticides. You might also want to check out for more information the North Carolina's laws regarding drift and the number of feet allowed for spraying in distance from certain areas. You can look that one up at www.toxicfreenc.org/programs/driftpolicy.html. There's lots of resources for helping to understand and get to the bottom of any potential spray drift problems. You might want to take a look at Anna Duncan Pardo at Toxic Free NC's hotline. They'll give you advice about the best way to report drift and what is considered a violation. You can reach Anna Duncan Pardo at 877-667-7729. Again, her number is 877-667-7729. The hotline is operated by the nonprofit Toxic Free North Carolina, provides information about specific chemicals, and assists on reporting violations free of charge in English or Spanish, and regardless of the caller's legal status in the United States. This has been a program today that has been on my mind for a bit. I hope the folks who are listening to this can keep the information available in case they wander into a vineyard in the future where they've got some problems. You at least have a place to recommend them. Here in the western part of North Carolina, we are just at the very beginning of our development of the viticulture industry, and we are still yet to deal with and understand how to handle some of the problems that may come up, one of them being spray drift. That ends our program for today, folks. I really appreciate your tuning in and giving a listen to my little rant here on spray drift. We'll call that a wrap for today's program. Thanks for listening.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!